We have been in a series of messages, which I call Fundamentals of the Christian Life. We did three on prayer, and three on worship, and three on study, and now we're moving into the action side. This is how we impact the world around us and change our environment. And the first one I want to deal with is the tithing principle in terms of this stuff. Now, I don't know how you are, but my household has always been one where you kind of live from paycheck to paycheck, and this church lives from Sunday to Sunday in terms of our life. I want to talk to you about your giving financially, and this is really not about, I'm not concerned about our finances here at the church in the midst of this. I want to deal with a principle of life. And this is one of the fundamentals of the Christian life. And this is where we begin to reach out to others in terms of this. This is where we begin to affect change and advance the kingdom in this world. So I'm not going to pound you about your giving because I am not a fundraiser, so I'm not doing that. Having said that, let me also say that God is not really measuring his commitment to you on the basis of your personal giving. That, for some of us, is good to know, especially when it comes to the pittance we give at times. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are in. It's not a matter of your giving or anything else. It's a matter of accepting the love of God in repentance for your sin. It is a matter of receiving Jesus as Savior only. That God makes a commitment to you. Now, having said that, I also need to say that even though God is not measuring his commitment to any of us on the basis of our giving, each of us is possibly measuring the amount of release of what we may know about God by our giving. Today I want to talk about the tithing principle because it's the beginning of action in terms of our lives, and it's a principle involved with our personal giving that has nothing to do with the financial needs of this church or any ministry. It has to do with your relationship with God and releasing of God's blessing and revelation in our lives personally. It also has to do with advancing and establishing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. God has established a principle of giving for his people, and it is called the tithe. The tithe is the giving of the first 10% of income. The tithe is the principle that God sets forth concerning giving, and each of us chooses whether we're going to follow his principles or not. The tithe is set forth as the principle of giving. Now, I know this, like everything we've been talking about in terms of the fundamentals of the Christian life, things are learned. We learn how to pray and what that means. We learn how to serve. We learn about our worship and our study. We learn things, and giving is one of that, and it's part of the believer basics and the fundamentals of our Christian life. Now, I want to give a personal testimony about giving today before we look at the scripture in Malachi. And I think it might be appropriate at this time for some of you in terms of this. This may be a refresher course, but it also may be the first time you hear some of this stuff. So I know this. So I'm going to kind of lean up against the truck and talk to you a little bit. Those of you who really want to be followers of Jesus and say that you want him as the Lord of your life and not just receive him as Savior, then this is for you. Those who choose their own way in life, you probably are going to be wasting your time this morning, especially if you've already set in your heart what you're going to give to God and don't care what he calls for in terms of your life. When I was a kid, I started getting an allowance from my parents. And my parents taught me the principle of tithing, that is the giving of 10% of what I received in terms of money. When my allowance was a dollar, and I was given an allowance for making my own bed, which actually is a learned talent too. I was to give 10%, which is 10 cents. My parents made sure I did it. They talked to me about giving and the principle of what God calls us to give. Now, I followed that principle in terms of my childhood up through high school, mainly because I was living at home and it was just part of our lifestyle. My first couple of years in college, I began to slip in some of this discipline. I was out all right during the summer when I was home, but during the school year, I didn't practice any kind of giving. In fact, I don't remember going to church in the winter when I was in college either. So therefore, it's difficult to give anything if you don't show up. My last 2 years of college, my giving just quit. And even when I received the call to ministry and began to get involved in going towards the ministry, I had put the principle of the tithe on the back shelf someplace. Well, I went to seminary, and I didn't tithe during that time either. I gave a little to the churches that I worked in, but not really very much. When I became an associate pastor for 3 years in Morristown, Tennessee, I gave some, but I did not tithe. And I don't really remember thinking much about it, but I know that I didn't give much to the church. When I got a call to go to Madisonville, Kentucky, I guess I grew up a little in terms of my giving. Actually, I think I went back to my childhood practices at that point. When I started as pastor of that church, I figured if I was going to be the leader, the pastor of the church, I needed to lead by example, even though it wouldn't be common knowledge. So that's when I went back to tithing, 10% of income. I figured if I was going to talk to people about it on occasion, then I better know what I was talking about, and I better not just talk, but show by example. Now, I didn't think much about it much in terms of God's principle of giving. I thought about it mainly the way you may think about giving. It's something that comes along every year in the church, and we have to deal with it somehow. So I returned to tithing when I moved to Madisonville, Kentucky. During the next 23 years that I was there, I probably gave over $100,000 to that church or to ministries that were involved. So I don't know how much I gave to other places. And you know, I didn't miss a meal. Now, I didn't drive a Cadillac or Mercedes or any of those kinds of cars, but I got around. Round, round, get around. I got around. But I learned tithing is a principle for living, and I followed it when I moved to Western Kentucky. But even when I didn't follow it, I knew it was there. It was in the back of my mind because I had been raised that way. Now, having said that, I want to instruct some of you and those of you who have become children of God under my guidance. Tithing is the principle for giving. As I said, this teaching has nothing to do with the needs of this church. This has to do with you learning to walk in the Lord's ways. Tithing is the principle for your giving, and it's not easy. First, when you start to tithe, it will be a tremendous sacrifice. But it is one of the fundamentals of the Christian life. But it will be a tremendous sacrifice, and you'll struggle with it. You have to be intentional about doing it. And you will have to pay attention to your giving. Now, I've been doing it probably for about 40 years or so, and for me, it's no longer sacrifice. It's what I do. It's about obedience. Now, obedience can be hard, too, but it isn't the same as sacrifice. It's just something that I do because I am Jesus' man in this world, and he is the Lord of my money. It's part of my Christian action, and I am just a steward of his money. and I know that. I have some scriptures here, but there's a couple that aren't in the bulletin, and I'd like us to read from the only Italian in the Bible, Malachi, chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. It's not printed, so you're going to have to read it off the screen. Okay, here we go. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing thee? In your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Now, in this particular scripture, there's a dialogue that is taking place between God and the people. And God says, if you return to me, I will return to you. And the people say, how shall we return? Implying that they are not really far away from God and that they're okay. And God says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. And they say, how are we robbing you? And God says, in your giving. Now, when the Lord says you rob me, what does God mean by saying that we rob him? Now, this is what I think it means. I think we deprive him of the glory that is due his name. And that glory has to do with trusting him. It has to do with not giving him a chance to bless us and work in us. We, in reality, rob God of glory more than money. Read with me. I've got Psalms 96, 8. It's not in your bulletin either, but let's read it together. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now that, you know, when we talk about money, we are really talking about life, because our money is our life in many ways. Stewardship has to do with all your money and what you do with it, not just what you give to the church. Stewardship has to do with what you keep and use yourself as well. If you want to know what is really important in your life, just look at your checkbook for the past year or what you have used your money for. Now, God didn't need their money any more than he needs ours, by the way. God was telling them that the reason their lives were in such a mess was because they had so many things out of order in their lives, and one of the primary places where they were all messed up was how they used their money. And God said they were cursed. The curse here is the consequences of living outside God's will, God's ways, and disregarding the principles of living woven into the fabric of life itself. Now, the problem with these people, which is also the problem with a lot of us, was that they needed to learn how to give of themselves, and God was saying to them and to us, we need to give. Because ultimately, the giver, and that's you and me, learn the largest rule of life, which can be wrapped up in one sentence. When you give yourself away, you will always receive more life back. We don't buy that if you're living in this world. When you give yourself away, you will always receive more life back. But we say, I need to protect myself. I need to take care of myself. When you give, you will always discover new things that God wants to show you. When you give of yourself, you will also release new possibilities for yourself, as well as possibly advancing the kingdom of heaven. We need to learn to let go, and the only way to learn it is to do it. We never save anything by trying to protect it. You know, the world really, even though I know I might be, if I was out there, I'd be one crying in the wilderness. The world runs backwards. It runs upside down. It is dyslexic in its own way. The world, and most of us, see everything backwards and upside down. Either that or I see everything backwards, and so does Jesus. Jesus put it this way. Read with me Luke chapter 9, verse 24. Now, this is what Jesus says about life, but it's not what the world says. Here we go. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. Then he also said, read with me Luke 12, 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you determined that your life consists in the abundance of your possessions and all you can pile up? Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Well, if that's so, let me ask you another question. If your life does not consist of the abundance of all your stuff, what does it consist of? Now, the world views things backwards, but to many of us, it seems like it is correct. And we're dyslexic, spiritually speaking. Truth is, when you give, you receive. Okay, let's read verse 10 in chapter 3 of Malachi. Here we go. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here. He says, the first thing is the Lord says, prove me. He says, God said, look, I want you to see that what I am saying really does work. You put it to the test. You conduct an experiment. God says, put it to the test. And until you try it, you will never know the truth of the blessing of tithing. And Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples at the Last Supper about the principle of serving others, told them, he says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And the blessing comes with the experiment. The second thing in this verse is, where do you tithe? Here in Malachi, it says, bring your full tithes into the storehouse. Now, at the risk of being misunderstood, I'm going to tell you where the storehouse is. It's where you gather with the body of Christ. It is where you get fed spiritually. It's where your church is. Now, there are other ministries, and I have supported all kinds of ministries over the years as part of that. But the bulk of the giving has always been where I am in church. It's not that other ministries aren't important, because they are. But you have to understand the priorities. Okay, let's read verses 10 to 12, the three verses together. Here we go. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you, and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Now, as you read this, let's look at the promises that are actually given here. Now, this is one of those things where, you know, one of the things about faith is, do you trust me? That's what faith is really all about. First, overflowing blessing, God says. If you will be obedient, I can open the heaven and pour a blessing on you like rain on a field. It's the unleashing of God's possibilities to advance your life and advance the kingdom of heaven. It is the abundant life. Abundance has to do with having enough and having peace in the land of your life. Now, abundant thinking is also a blessing, as opposed to what I call deprivation thinking. And deprivation thinking is basically says, what do I need to do to survive? Whereas abundant thinking is, what can I do to help? Now, the second promise from tithing is where God says, I will rebuke the devourer. Well, that is the stripper locust that devours everything in its path. Now, this is not a bug that comes along and eats a few leaves. God says, I will rebuke that which devours your life and rips you off. And God says, I will rebuke all those little things in life that come in so many numbers that you end up being stripped of your life. Now, the third promise God makes concerning tithing is where God says, your vine in your field shall not fail to bear. Another way of saying this is your life will not cast its fruit before its time. This is talking about things in our lives in which we want to be fruitful. But something happens before that fulfillment. It never matures correctly. It falls off the vine, you might say. Now, if I were asked for examples, probably most all of us could give examples where we were about to get on top of something and things were fitting together. We knew they were fitting together, and just before things get settled, it fails. Then it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and we think, why can't I ever turn the corner? And God says, I will see to it that your vine does not cast its fruit before its time, so that you will not come to a fruitless end. Now, with tithing comes the assurance that things will not abort short of fulfillment. These are promises that come with tithing. And God says, test me on this. In verse 12, it says this, then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Let me interpret this on an individual basis. If you tithe, then the people around you will call you blessed, because your life will be filled with fruitfulness, peace, and blessing, and you are a person people like to be around. A person of delight. Now, that's a nice word. I like that. It's upbeat. It's beautiful. What do you delight in? I mean, think about it. I delight in beautiful days. I delight in the belly laughs of small children. I delighted in my parents when I would see them living together. I delight in watching some of you when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you come off the great banquet and you aren't worried about anybody noticing that. I delight in just thinking about some of you. I delight in people who are aglow with the Holy Spirit and tell me what the Lord is doing in their lives. Delight. I like the word. It's a great word. And the Lord says, when you tithe, people will delight in you. It is going to be a beautiful thing for you. So why does God want us to tithe? As I said, it's not about this church or anything like that. He wants us to tithe so that people will delight in us, so that he can bless us and cause us to be fruitful. Why does God want us to tithe? So that the world around us can see the glory of God shining in us, so that we get a good understanding of what money's really all about. So I've been tithing a good percentage of my life. And you know, I bear witness to the truth of the promises that are in the passage. I have been blessed. I have been fruitful. The devourer has been driven off a few times in my life. Those who would destroy me and destroy my life have been either destroyed or driven off. I also know that my life and my work has brought great delight to a number of you. Is it because I decided to tithe all those years ago? I don't know for sure, but based on this scripture, it certainly looks like it could be a possibility. I have taught my flesh and blood kids to tithe. I don't know whether they do it or not, but they've been taught. I also teach my spiritual children, those who have come to know the Lord Jesus under my ministry, and they learn and experience the truth. Be a tither and test God. See if your life doesn't also experience the blessings of the promises that God has shown in this scripture. And part of the fundamentals of the Christian life is learning how to give, because give is part of our action. And you can do teach Sunday school or do something, but sometimes our giving is part of our action. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would teach us all how to give and teach us the principle of the tithe so that we understand, literally understand, part of our advancing and establishing the kingdom of God here on earth and being your agents. In Jesus' name, amen.